This week's episode is about how physical therapists should deal with head injuries and concussions. We'll be right back.
This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Jeff Worrell, we're back on PT Talker, and of course, it's fall, and everybody's getting ready for football. With football season, I actually thought it might be appropriate to talk about head injuries and concussions, and, you know, I know that certainly athletic trainers are involved with being kind of first responders on the football field, but physical therapists, I think, find themselves approaching those kinds of things, and we thought it might be helpful to have Mr. Dan Lorenz. He's a physical therapist as well as an athletic trainer, and he's joining us. Dan, welcome to our show.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for having me, Jeff.
You know, I was we're happy to have you because you actually are you authored an article that I read recently, as well as I know that you've spoken to some large groups, especially out in Las Vegas at a recent convention, and developed a like a home study course or home study evaluation. You are really into prevention of facial injuries, head injuries. How'd you get started in all that?
You know what, I had a great opportunity from some colleagues in the field that were presenting at the same conference on head injury and other sport-related concussion, things like that. And just because at the time I was working in the National Football League as a physical therapist and athletic trainer for the Kansas City Chiefs, I took the opportunity to try and share my experience. And I enjoy doing research and kind of looking up what the literature has to say, because it's something that you can use every day, and wanted to write the home study course and try and share that knowledge with physical therapists across the nation.
Well, let's start there real quick. If someone wanted to find out more about your home study course or obtain it somehow, how would they go about doing that?
I would encourage them to go to the Sports Physical Therapy section website of the APTA, which I believe is www.spts.org. And there should be a link there to home study courses, and you'll see the lineup. There's several of them by very, very, very many great PTs across the country.
But you're modest, and yours is called what specifically?
It's prevention of head, mouth, and facial injuries.
Okay, excellent. If anyone has any trouble with that website, just feel free to send me a quick email to feedback@pttalker.com, and I'll be sure and forward that on to Dan Lorenz. All right, so Dan, so if a physical therapist were interested in taking this home study course, is that the right way? Is that the right way?
Yeah. And actually, if I can say as a side note, the APTA, through the sports physical therapy section, actually offers an emergency responder course.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the physical therapist who has possibly interest in becoming a sports certified specialist.
Okay.
Or an SCS. Or, again, even if they just were interested in taking an emergency responder course, you might be a physical therapist that works in a very rural area, and you might be an ideal candidate to take that because you might be the only, quote-unquote, most medical person at a football game or a hockey game or wrestling match, and you would need to know this information to keep the athlete safe.
Sure. And we all know and respect that athlete trainers certainly deal with this kind of thing on a daily basis, but mm-hmm. back to your terminology about most medical, what specifically do you mean by that?
Well, unfortunately, the term trainer is thrown around rather loosely, and it means a lot of different things. You know, you could be a personal trainer, it could be a horse trainer, or unfortunately, athletic trainers, certified athletic trainers, get lumped into trainer, and sometimes people have no background. And unfortunately, coaches aren't educated quite well on how to assess and treat any injury, let alone a head injury. There may or may not be doctors in the stands or a doctor covering the sideline. And if there is a physical therapist present, they are, quote unquote, the most medical because they have a background in neuroanatomy and physiology, and hopefully have a baseline knowledge of how to recognize when a head injury has occurred.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that kind of sets the stage that there are probably lots of our listeners out there that might find themselves in that situation, and your course as well as learning more about how to spot a concussion or some of the warning signs might be helpful.
Definitely.
Okay, so let's go through that. If we, and of course, I suppose it could be a car accident, could be a bike accident with the neighbor's kids down the street. So I'm assuming there are lots of other ways to apply this. But let's just say we're at, you know, I started out with where it's fall and football season. Mm-hmm. We're on the field and a bell rung. Is that the right way to you know, is that the poor terminology? But what is our listener, what are our listeners going to look for?
Well, I say the first thing to look for is making sure you're paying attention, because you'll see a lot of times an athlete will get hit. There'll be that thunderous hit. The crowd will go, you know, they'll make that noise that you hear when there's quite a hit on the field. And then really it's closely monitoring that athlete. You may find that they're relatively dazed or they're not running at their usual pace. If you do get face-to-face contact with them, they might report that they have a headache. They might have some slurred speech. They might feel ringing in the ears. They could feel dizzy. And you may even see them kind of wobble off the field, almost as if they're intoxicated. That might be probably the most significant thing to see. The most recognizable sign of a concussion, though, is definitely loss of consciousness. So if you see an athlete that's down, that stays down, or that takes some time to get up and subsequently wobbles off the field, you can be fairly certain that they've suffered some sort of a head injury. Speaking to what you said earlier about getting their bell rung, you know, that's the layman's terms. They used to say in the literature that they suffered a quote-unquote ding, but they've actually taken ding out of the literature entirely, and now we do know that if you do suffer some sort of a head trauma, that it is considered a concussion. It's just it has different terminology.
Different degrees, okay.
Yes.
Now, I'm thinking back to the it was newsworthy, the actress that was skiing on a bunny hill and must have had a head trauma and then subsequently passed away. It seems to me that people did not recognize what had happened there, and then things got worse as time went on. How can you apply that to what we're talking about now?
Well, therein lies the reason why concussion and head injuries are probably the most scary thing for athletic trainers and medical personnel to evaluate. From what I understand of the situation, she suffered a head injury when she fell while skiing. But the problem is that with concussion, it's not something that you can always see. From the sounds of it, she had a slow bleed in her brain that progressively just added more pressure, and she then subsequently passed away. Now, again, please don't take that as the most accurate information, but that's what I understood from reading in mm-hmm. the newspapers and in the media. And that's what makes these so scary, is that you can't see them. When somebody breaks an ankle or maybe does something to their knee or does something to their shoulder, you can see it. You know, if a shoulder's out of place, it doesn't take somebody with a very detailed medical background to see that, okay, this doesn't look right. Well, because the brain is encased in our skull, again, it's not always easy to see that something very serious is looming below.
And would you have any advice for the physical therapist that might be involved in a situation, let's say an athletic situation, and everything seems to be okay, but are there some warning signs of what can start to happen later on? Like, is it that slurred speech or something with the eyes? What would you look for if we got off the field okay, but things get worse?
The general rule is when in doubt, sit them out. So if there's any indication and any worry that this individual may have suffered something serious, you don't want to just send them back in the game right away. They should be evaluated, preferably by a doctor. And truthfully, again, going back to unfortunately we're in such a litigious society, if you make that decision and send somebody back in and something were to happen, first and foremost, the safety of the athlete's in question, but secondly, there can be quite a lot of legal issues there as well. So we want to avoid those things, obviously, at all costs. I would say, though, that if it is available to, if a physician's not available, that going through a thorough sort of a neurocognitive test and having these things available on the sidelines is so important. But if it's not available, doing such things as memory recall, physical exertion. I mean, can the person even run straight ahead without being dizzy, without getting sick, without having a headache, without a persistent ringing in the ears? If any of these symptoms are persistent or haven't gone away and haven't stayed away for about 20 minutes or so, they really should not be sent back into competition.
Well, and even though a coach or someone or a parent may be pushing the issue.
Well, that herein lies another problem. Coaches and parents both need to understand the severity of a situation, and that regardless of the score or how big the game is, that if any of these symptoms continue to persist, that you could put the athlete at risk for even more problems. There is something called second impact syndrome, which means when you you sustain another blow prior to the first one being completely resolved, and those can result in death.
Wow.
So this isn't something that we really want to mess around with. I have experienced those hard-headed coaches and those hard-headed parents. You make it very, very clear that it's one of those situations where you've got to be stern. You've got to make it very, very clear that you do not recommend this, that it's not a good idea. They should be evaluated further before they go back into the game. Ultimately, though, if it's decided otherwise, just make sure that you've documented what you said to protect yourself.
Excellent. Very good. All right. Well, I hope that our listeners will find this information helpful as they, you know, find themselves in situations where it might be appropriate. Any last words of advice for a physical therapist that maybe knows nothing about this stuff?
Well, I encourage them to look in the literature. There has been several articles published as of late on concussion. Most recently, the Journal of Athletic Training published the recently there was a World Congress on concussions, and it's the third one they've had. There was one in 2001, 2004, and then recently at the end of 2008. The article is by McCrory et al., McCrory. It's in the latest Journal of Athletic Training, and it summarizes what the world leaders and world experts, what we know, what we don't know, what we need to know about concussions. I'd say that's a great starting point. Otherwise, like I mentioned earlier about the emergency responder course through the sports physical therapy section, is another excellent resource. But like I said, doing a simple literature search online at PubMed or whatever your various search engines are that you'd like to use for literature like this, there's tons and tons of stuff out there.
Excellent. Very good. All right. Well, thank you, Dan Lorenz, physical therapist, certified athletic trainer. You're working in the Kansas City area, I take it now?
I am, yes.
And you're in a clinical setting, I'll bet.
I am, yes. Helping I'm at an outpatient hospital-based facility helping them develop a sports medicine program. So we can get more kids covered and more kids taken care of.
Excellent. Very good. Well, it sounds to me like they're all in very good hands with you in charge. So I want to, again, thank you for coming on our show today.
Jeff, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And
I look forward to hearing from some people about their thoughts or any questions that they may have.
Sure. So if you have a comment or something that you'd like to add, just send us a quick email at feedback@pttalker.com. I want to remind everybody the previous episodes are available on iTunes, and we do appreciate when you tell your friends that PT Talker is the place to go for news and business ideas just for physical therapists. So Dan Lorenz and Jeff Worrell signing off for now, and we will see you next time.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.